Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's about to get unruly.
Order in the court.
It's Rivalry Week. Ducks. Beavers. This is a Rivalry Week edition of the firm of Harris and Meringue, brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup.
Ankerson, he'll take the direct snap, little stutter step, and pushes way to the goal line. Touchdown.
Keeping the peace from 10 to 1 on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome to hour number two. You missed in the first hour, you can download that, the Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app will let you rewind, fast forward chapters, the whole shebang. Just can't go into the future. That would be crazy. Also, youtube.com/1051thefan. That'll also let you catch older episodes, rewind, fast forward, except for into the future, because you can't do that. If you could go into the future, though, that would be really cool. My kids are really interested in the future. Like traveling, like I don't think they really care about what's going to the future is going to look like. I'm also not allowed to talk to my kids about what the future looks like because my wife gets very angry. She says you can't be doom and gloom and just tell them all the time that the world is a bad place.
I was doing something here in the commercial break.
Yeah,
just trying to get an idea. Like Miami's defense has obviously been very bad. I was like, okay, let me go ahead and find like where certain guys rank.
Oh, okay.
On PFF.
Yeah, yeah.
Their top edge rusher is Jalen Phillips. He is 83rd
of pass rushers
of edge defenders.
Ooh.
And if I go, I mean, I have to expand the search out to at least 100 for the linebackers. The highest rated linebacker they had, sorry, I closed the tab, was Jordan Brooks. I mentioned Jordan Brooks. He's number 20.
Hey.
Outside of those guys, buddy.
That's no bueno?
And Minka. Outside of those three guys, they're not there.
Yeah,
that just, could kind of
just don't have guys
to add to the point of like you have guys in name only.
Mm-hmm.
That's it,
and that's not a good place to be.
No.
503-864-6326 is the fan text line. You're missing Baltimore, Detroit. No.
I just
knew that was Monday night.
Yeah,
I just meant more the Sunday.
We'll do Baltimore, Detroit on Monday.
Yeah, yeah. I just meant the Sunday aspect. Yeah, yeah. But thanks for clearing that up. This hour, there's a lot to get to. We'll have Web Gems at 11:45. And I love it when you have to do something because of an injury and it just makes you look so badass. So we'll get to that at 11:45. But I was curious in thinking about the grind in Major League Baseball as we've got like 11, 10 games left in people. And the thought process of an athlete and a coach of, I wrote down 115 to 12 to starting a whole nother season. Like, your brain has to be in a pretty wild spot to just gruel through 150 games, and then all of a sudden you have this giant highlight of a small market of games to just power through for the real thing to start.
It is, at one point in time, was going to be the negative defining legacy of Clayton Kershaw. Being arguably the best regular season pitcher of our era.
Alex Rodriguez went through the same thing.
And then Peyton Manning. Can he ever get it done? You know, I think Peyton is the best regular season quarterback that we had.
Oh, for sure.
Like he was.
I'm sure his regular season wins are super high.
Bonker. I mean, Brady's going to be there longevity, but like Peyton Manning for 15 years was just an absolute 12 win 14 and 2 13 and 3
monster. 15 and 1
just in production, but it was come playoff time, you know, And that the magnification of that slog, even though it's, you know, now 17, but was 16 weeks versus 160 plus games to, and it's the same thing with the NBA. 82 games to 16 wins a ring. And it's like, at least in the NBA, you have seven game series and you almost always the better team wins.
And you've got a good amount of off days too.
Yes.
As much as I don't like it, you do.
Where in baseball, it's, you know, it can come fast and furious, and we're not in an era anymore where Randy and Kurt can't go every other day.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you are starting. I heard such a great interview with AJ Hinch, the manager of the Tigers, about this. Just, he was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, our team is good. And in July, you're like, oh, man, we're in Pittsburgh this week. Okay. And then we go to Arizona. Oh, that's across. And so I commend them a lot for this. I think you're starting to see players, though, have a new way to deal with this. Have you ever seen Josh Hader's contract? The closer for the Astros, it's like, I will only pitch X amount of innings in the regular season.
Oh, yeah. In that
it's like, once my game appearances hit a limit, I'm not going in.
Basically, he's protecting himself.
100%.
He's saying, you're not going to burn me up.
But I think teams are kind of like, okay, I'd like to burn you up, but you're a high leverage player. You'd never get away with this from a hitter, but you're a high leverage player. Throw 100 plus, you're my closer. I'll work around that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll work around that. And I'm curious if we'll see more of that.
Yeah, you'll never see it from hitters.
No, I don't think so. It's like, get your ass out there. Plus, you can DH.
Yeah.
You can have an off day from the field and DH.
Judge does.
Does frequently. Yet we don't count his home runs when he's a DH, huh? Mm. Why we do this with Cal Raleigh?
Because he plays the most difficult position in baseball.
I just got hot and bothered there by that.
MVP.
We'll stick in baseball for a second, as Blake Snell had an awesome, awesome moment last night. Is Dave Roberts smart for agreeing with him, or did he look like a little bitch? We'll get to that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swagalicious.
We're touching the three major sports in this hour. Some basketball talk. Web Gems at 11:45. When your injury actually makes you look badass, we'll get to that. And a loaded final hour. A lot of college football in the final hour. Anybody watching the Charlotte Rice game tonight?
Don't lose to food.
Anybody, don't lose to food.
There's a strong chance that it will be on while I'm doing something else.
For 45 minutes until Thursday night football starts?
Yes, it's 100%.
That was me with Wake Forest last week.
Wake Forest, like, NC State? Hell yeah, baby!
I was like, I put that game on. Well, you know, Dickert's down there, so I was like, oh, I'll watch Dickert, see what he's doing down there. And I watched that game for 45 minutes, and I was like, Dickert's got these Wake Forest guys going. I love it.
Also,
turned it off.
Wake Forest basketball and football jerseys, bangers.
Bangers, dude.
The black and gold.
It
like
looks
the,
nice.
It just works,
with
man.
Just plain old W and F, it looks really good. So I turned that game on for 45 minutes. I was like, look at Dickert's got this program rolling already. Turned it off because there was a better game on. Then I forgot, like 2 hours later, I was like, all right, what was the score of that game? Looked at it, I was like, oh, no.
There's NC State.
Uh-oh. NC State's the better program right now. It's not even close.
It might have been Sicko's committee, but it was like one of those accounts. They took the Wake Forest logo and they put a T in the middle.
Oh, WTF.
Yeah. In the same font. And I was like, they had like a little T in between. I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday, WTF, What the Football. It's Eric Winalda, who I can't stand. Oh, yeah. Eric Winalda, but it was WTF. My kids, I picked them up from school. They get in the car and they were like, and they point at the screen and just says WTF. They were like, you can't say that.
No, you can't.
Daddy does whatever he wants. No, shut up.
I like it. It's kind of parenting we encourage around here.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did you see the Dodger game last night?
I did not.
Blake Snell was on the mound. Threw a pretty good game. He is over 100 pitches in the seventh inning, and he's got two guys on. It's a 3-0 ball game. He's got two guys on. And Dave Roberts comes out to the mound, motions to the bullpen, comes out to the mound. He's like, all right, you know, we're pulling you. It's the situation. You know, we got to get out of this. The Dodgers bullpen has been so bad that Blake Snell looked at him and said, no. And Roberts goes, okay. Turned around and walked back to the dugout. The relief pitcher was in the outfield and had to turn around and go back into the dugout. Snell was like, you see these guys on base? They're mine.
Yeah.
If one of those guys comes in, they're still mine.
Yeah.
And I am not having this.
No.
He threw over 120 pitches, got out of the inning.
Good for him.
And they won.
Baseball, for a period, had become so analytically driven.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly as it came to pitcher and pitcher versus hitter matchup.
Well, and the fact that pitchers don't throw six innings anymore. Hell, half of them don't even throw five.
Yeah, and like that part of it, what I think saved Roberts beyond obviously winning the World Series was there were a couple times over the last 2 years where something akin to this has happened where pitcher got himself in a jam and he went out there and you could tell he had already made the call, warm him up. Like, don't, we're not soft tossing. Get ready to come in. And he's gone out to the mound and he's had a pitcher. Clayton Kershaw did it to him. Said, nah, dog. Nah. And Roberts, that is not an analytic thing. That is the epitome of baseball feel. That's Lou Piniella. That's Tito. Like, that, it's the OGs in the game who have spent a long Tony La Russa, like the OG Aussie,
Joe Torre, like,
the OGs,
Aussie Guillen, yeah,
the OGs of the game that still have, like, there are certainly guys that were hesitant to embrace analytics but eventually did, but they managed to marry the two and still have the feel for their guys.
Yeah, AJ Hinch, when you remember when Skubal threw that game and had like hit a hundo on the gun in the ninth inning, I caught an interview with him. I can't believe I'm talking Tigers so much today. I hate that team. They're just my rival. But he would, you know, they asked him, is there any chance you're going out and pulling Skubal? And he goes, do you think I want to go talk to Tarik right now and see if he's going to come out of this game? I'm just going to skip that conversation. So some guys kind of already know that.
Yeah.
To where Roberts, I mean, look, I've been real critical on Dave Roberts. I don't love his kind of in-game handling until I watched the World Series last year where he finally managed a bullpen correctly. Mm-hmm. But these are the reasons why you have him in place. Because sometimes the feel of players... You know, Blake Snell's a starter. It's not like it's Mookie, Freddie, or Shohei kind of in the heart of the lineup every day. But you don't want to lose him.
No.
You don't want to lose that guy in terms of culture, clubhouse mentality. And I think you're also getting lucky that the quotes from Blake Trinan and the quotes from Tanner Scott are, we suck. So you're kind of being a little fortunate that your bullpen is admitting that they are garbage. But this is just another case of great reading the room. Read the room.
Because you could easily be like, no, I'm in charge. Your ass isn't on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is.
And you can say this is a problem for future me of giving him an extra day off since he threw over 120 pitches. I'd like to see coaches just in general do a little bit more of this. I know more often than not, I think it kind of bites you. You know, it's why the analytics, to your point, why the analytics
because
do
analysts
come in.
Have the depth and breadth of everything when it comes to the data.
And they take emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they take emotion out of it.
It's cold and it's calculated.
And emotion, more often than not, is the downfall.
It is, but...
But when it succeeds, it's so sexy. It's so sexy. And that's why, like, I'm anti-ABS. I'm anti-robo-umps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti-replay, but I'm anti just everything being on a camera because, especially in baseball, the human element is littered through this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes it very magical. Remember, I'm a romantic.
Mm-hmm.
So... I love the romanticizing of stuff.
It's the flaws.
Mm-hmm. Flaws are what make us human, too. And I think that's fun.
I do. Let's see, we actually have one we agree on.
We're getting in our feelings. Look at you having feelings.
My feelings.
Yeah, you don't like that, do you?
What are these?
Snowflake.
What are these? I don't like these.
You're getting all softy about baseball.
Bring in ABS.
I'm excited for playoffs. We're getting close. We're getting down to it.
I don't, you know. I don't have a dog in the fight, so.
I don't either, and I think that sometimes, you know,
Don't get me wrong. I'll watch.
I know. We're getting close, and I hate to open this can of worms, but I'll open it. I would argue that some, obviously your fandom's your fandom, but I would argue more often than not, I'm more excited when my team's not in it.
Oh, God,
because
no.
Then I just get a watch.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
I'm way on the other side.
Look, Cleveland's got an outside chance to get in, and I think that'd be rad. And I think it'd be really cool, and I would root for my team, and I love my team. However, when my team doesn't get in, then I kind of just sit back and watch, and you have no rooting interest. I mean, this is how I approach the NFL every day now. It's like, I don't have a team, so I'm just trying to watch good games.
The counter to that is my guy Brett at Chalem Glen. I was at the driving range yesterday, and I knew he was a Mariners fan, but I didn't know he's a sicko Mariners fan. He's like, no, you've seen Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon, right?
I have not seen that.
But he goes, it's Red Sox sex and something else. He goes, for me, it's Mariners sex and whatever else. And I was like, oh, you're like that. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, so how are you feeling right now? He's like, I'm juiced, you know? I'm like,
6 to midnight over here.
Uh-huh. See, like, and you like, when you are that guy, like, and if you're a Mariners fan, it's got to be painful. But let's say this is their year.
Could be.
This is the year. Like, if you do, let's say you go. Let's not even say you win it. Let's say you go to the World Series,
just make an appearance.
You will tell every family member and every person you ever know about that.
In 2016, Cleveland went to the World Series, lost to the Cubs. I was at Game 1 and 2,
and you remember religiously every last bit of it,
every second of it. Game 2, I was pretty drunk too. Game 1, I was pretty sober. And I remember all of it.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's just something.
I remember that LeBron James was in the house, you know?
Yeah.
I know Roberto Perez's second home run landed 17 rows away from me. And I know it's 17.
Yeah.
Not a guesstimate. It's 17 rows away from
me.
And
that's where that, like, don't get me wrong, like, basketball.
Down and
like last year, I was very vested in the Indiana Pacers.
Very.
And I watched damn near every playoff game of every team last year. Mm. And I do that most years. But if you're telling me that it comes anywhere close to watching Dame pull up from 37 feet, you are out of your freaking mind.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think the consolation prize of your team not being in is pretty great.
It's wholly different.
It's not participation trophy. I'm not going that far.
Yeah, no.
But I'm just saying
it's wholly
your
different.
Your team's out, so now you just get to watch the sport you love.
Yeah, but there's something missing. For sure, for me.
Oh, definitely.
So
I get that. When we come back, this guy's snooping around. And as Danny always says, if he's snooping around, things ain't going well. Things ain't going well at all. We'll get to an update on the Steve Ballmer situation. But first, there's the big kahuna over there. He's got sports for you.
You ever had a big kahuna burger?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Web Gems coming up next, everybody's favorite. Sometimes you get hurt and things make you look cooler. There was always that kid in school that like broke his arm and had a cast. And all of a sudden everybody thought he looked cool. Wow, what'd you do, man? Oh, I fell off my skateboard. Just doing tricks on my bike. And it's like, nah, bro, you just fell off the stairs at your house.
I had a buddy.
But you look cool.
Buddy,
you look cool.
Buddy had casts on both arms in seventh grade.
I had a buddy who had that senior year of high school.
Yeah, he was athletically gifted. He dunked and swung too far.
In
seventh grade, this guy was dunking with two hands.
I had a buddy who was a pitcher. A good friend of mine, actually, his kid and my kid go to school together, which is just wild. And he was a pitcher in high school. Pretty good. And he got lit one day on the mound, not by alcohol, but he got lit on the mound one day, walked into the dugout and punched the wall with each arm, each hand.
Broke them both.
It was concrete. Broke them both. That's my boy Johnny. So shout out Freeman.
The reason I discovered lacrosse, snowboarding in late October, early November, because it was before Thanksgiving. We just happened to get a ton of snow on Mount Hood. And I was like, I'm going to go for early season run.
Sure, why not?
I went up there, I landed, and I got a little heavy on the toe side, and wham, smacked my wrist into the half pipe. And I was like, damn, that hurt. And I, you know, was sore the rest of the day. I may or may not have snuck over into the trees a few times with some buddies to make sure that the pain disappeared. But, you know, I get back home, and the next day, an inch above my wrist to the middle of my palm was black.
Ugh.
And I'm like, ah, crap. Go to the doctor. Like, yeah, you broke your hand and your wrist in numerous spots, dummy.
Gross.
So I ended up being in a cast for 12 weeks. My baseball coach chewed me out and was like, how could you be so irresponsible? You're a baseball player. You can't, you know, blah, you're a pitcher, blah, blah. I, in my rebellious youth, said, well, I'm not a baseball player anymore.
No mas.
And then went and played lacrosse, and it worked out really well for me.
Well,
but
that's good.
Yeah, broken wrists. But yeah, my buddy in middle school, though, Mike, he swung on the rim, and he lost his grip, and he fell back with both arms behind him. I think he broke one in like 13 places. Like, he blew up one hand, and the other one was like four or five. But he was in dual casts. This is back in the day when you used to dual cast everything, or you used to cast everything for like 15, 16 weeks.
Now they almost don't cast anything.
Yeah. So he was in like dual hard casts for like 4 months, man. It was bad. It was just like, ugh. He had to do all of his tests vocally.
Oh.
Because he couldn't write. We didn't have laptops then.
Yeah. He couldn't type either.
Yeah. But like, even then, like, so because he couldn't even be like, do it left-handed. He did double casts. It's one of those things where looking back at it now, I'm like, how do you wipe when both hands are casted? Do you just put like a towel on a pole and wiggle?
Probably, I guess.
Like that one viral video of the bear scratching his back?
Yes!
Kind of shimmy it.
Anybody got a Swiffer?
You know what I mean? Like, because I don't know if you've never had your wrist casted, it like goes into like the meat of your palm. It goes up high. Like there's no pliability with, you've got hook hands that don't close. It sucks.
Yeah.
And if you've got them on both hands, like, you're basically just scooping at that point.
Oh, gross.
You're definitely a front to back guy.
Now
at that
my
point.
Visuals are ruined.
Like, if you're back to front, you're weird. But like, you can't go back to front. Then you have it's a scoop action. You basically got a backhoe hand. But it's like in one position.
You keep doubling down on this, and I keep like getting ginchier.
I know. Ginchier. That's why I keep going. I just see you get a little tighter, a little bit more into your chair.
What if I said NBA?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
speaking of digging deeper and wiping your butt.
What if I give you? Let's get Danny back on task. Just need some emotional responses there.
It's a little Pavlovian there for sure. That is definitely my ding.
You know what? I will give. We're following this Steve Ballmer, Kawhi Leonard situation, and finally ESPN has the guts to put a reporter on it.
I'm normally with you. There's another part of this story we'll get to.
We're here.
Pablo Torre is obviously a guy who's getting credit because he came with his first, and he came with receipts, and then he also had, oh, don't worry, I've got another loaded gun over here, and then another one in the closet, and then I've got another one in that drawer over there. But, and this is what I said when this first broke, Steve Ballmer is the sixth richest man in the world. He has more money than the rest of the NBA combined and then some.
Yeah, you've been hammering that.
His legal battle defense mechanism, whatever you want to call it, can crush everyone.
Yeah, you don't even need a verdict. You'll just get so
wrapped up in
buried
everything.
In money.
And Pablo Torre said it on Le Batard of like, I have to be careful because he can sue me out of a life.
Yeah.
He could wrap me up in court for the next decade. And it won't even affect Ballmer.
Mm-mm.
He can throw literally tens of millions of dollars at him legally, it's not even a drop in the bucket for him. So and this is why I think ESPN, where I would normally be like, ESPN's not even doing this. Baxter Holmes, Pablo Torre, Don Van Natta, Mike Florio. Those are four of the best investigative sports journalists we have right now.
Might be the last ones we have.
And they do not come without receipts. And everyone's like, well, Pablo, said this. Then he followed up with a letter signed by the CFO, the CMO, the CTO, the CIO, everyone basically at Aspiration going, yeah, no, this was a sham. This wasn't anonymous sources.
Yeah, there's no reason to like stick up for Aspiration at this point.
It's like,
If you're a former employee, they probably didn't make you sign NDAs on the way out. Well, even they probably didn't think any of this was going to go down.
Well, even if they did, the former CEO committed a federal crime.
Right.
So that
all gets torn up.
See you later. Bye.
Yeah. The new report out today is that the Clippers reportedly wired Aspiration $32.4 million on the same day Kawhi signed his $28 million. I don't know what the solution is to this. I don't know what the end game is. I'm curious to watch this. But it just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up.
And to that point, Baxter Holmes, it is a very long article.
It is very long.
And what Baxter does is he takes Pablo's information, he takes the publicly available information, and then he has sourced information from people within the Clippers.
Yeah, he's just another source.
And it's both current and former staffers who spoke on condition of anonymity, but Baxter has the credibility to go, he is not making this up. And it outlines basically everything from the time Kawhi left the Spurs until now. And the amount of, and it doesn't even really go into the Aspiration stuff as much as the circumventing of the cap, the circumvention of Kawhi's injuries and how darkly kept secrets those are, even within the Clippers. There's layers. There's people within the Clippers medical staff that have no idea what he is, who he is, And it starts to paint a very, very, very clear picture of Uncle Dennis and Kawhi operating as basically a mafia. I used this analogy, I want to say, like a week ago. And it's becoming more...
I was there.
I think it's becoming more and more apt.
Sure.
They just squeeze and they squeeze and they squeeze and they squeeze. And if you don't want it, I'm going to go get it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you hurt on the way out. And that's what has happened at every single level. You know where we talked the other day? I can't believe I brought this up. A listener to the show sent me the link to it. I had the question, who has played more games percentage-wise? Deshaun Watson
you finally or Kawhi looked this Leonard? Up, yeah.
I didn't look it up. A listener did. They sent me to it. Okay. I verified it.
Because you sent it to me, and I didn't know how you got there.
Oh, okay. Did I send it to you? Okay. We just didn't bring it up. Deshaun Watson has played more as a percentage. Barely.
That is insane.
Barely.
That is insane. I would have put money on it being Kawhi.
I think it was 64.4 to like 65.2%.
Because I would have put money on Kawhi.
But I knew in my head that it was going to be close.
Well, payments do take five business days to process.
But it's like this. I was listening to Zach Lowe. I think it was Beck was on. Howard Beck was on with him. And Lowe is, Lowe has significantly more connections than I do, but I've reached out to ownership and front office executives and agents and just, trying to get an idea of what they think. The general consensus that I have gotten, and Zach Lowe's almost exactly the same as what I've gotten, the Clippers are screwed. And it was, well, they might hit him. I don't think they get out of this with Kawhi Leonard on the roster. I don't think they get out of this without losing at least two first-round
draft picks. Because, see, I feel like I said that to you 2 weeks ago, and you were like, nah, they won't be able to be that hard. Ballmer will fight it. But it's funny to see that tune has changed for you as just the evidence just continues to be mounting and mounting.
When it first came out, it was like, yeah, that's not good. But, like, how the smoking gun?
You're starting – because I think – I want to phrase this correctly. You weren't afraid of Steve Ballmer. But you're becoming less afraid of Steve Ballmer.
Because the preponderance of evidence, and it's more than circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
It's not, It's not Steve Ballmer calling the aspiration CEO and having like, this isn't Donald Sterling on a recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're one step removed from it.
Like, that could come out. That could be the final.
Like, if Pablo actually does have somebody on record, oh my God.
It's over.
Well, it might not. Here's the thing. It might not just be over in the sense of they're going to get hammered with the Joe Smith thing. This is, if that existed.
It could be Ballmer out of the league.
Yes.
Yep. And there's precedent.
Like that.
That's what I've always said with this.
If there's legitimate active circumnavigation of the CBA that was this, it's not that it happened. It's that it was this thorough and this planned, because that part of it, look, the Minnesota thing, you know how they caught him, right?
Mm-hmm. I've been reading all this stuff.
There was a letter in a drawer.
Yeah.
You want to talk about
people
dumb?
Always make mistakes in this stuff, though. That's how they always get caught, is people are always making mistakes.
And that's the thing, is that they keep digging. And that's how they found how Pablo got the bank records is
nuts.
Crazy,
good
dude.
Good for him.
That's not FOIA stuff. That's not something that's like you can just go get.
Right.
That's private information. That is not publicly accessible information. So, and that's where the Clippers released another statement after Baxter Holmes' article.
Mm. Can't wait to hear this.
And it's Steve Ballmer basically saying, we didn't know.
Just playing dumb.
You can't play dumb this long.
No, it's
not with this, like, when it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. I think in the end of this, where this ends up is Kawhi Leonard's contract is voided. That's in another. You aren't telling. Look, I don't care how sideways Uncle Dennis is.
You're telling me Kawhi Leonard's a free agent?
And guess what? Do they void his contract, which means the money?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now there's no money out there. Does he take a minimum deal to go play with
Durant or something?
Yeah, and now, what does that do to the competitive balance of the league? Like, all of a sudden, you're like,
you're opening worms here.
Like,
you're opening worms.
To go local.
Yeah.
What if the Blazers said,
we'll take a shot?
Dundon goes, screw it. I don't care.
Yep. I'll give him $8 million. Not even the league minimum.
Whatever
the veteran min is.
I think when it's all said and done, I think they've got about $5 million in space. Mm-hmm. Let's just say they're like, screw it. I'll take 50% availability for $5 million and see what the hell happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new owner.
I mean, I think there's many owners that would do that. People that could use it.
You know what I mean? Like,
Kawhi puts you over the hump. It did it to two teams. Won titles. All right, when we come back, we'll slide into Web Gems. Everybody's favorite. That's next. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Web Gems. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up in the noon hour, the future of the Pac-12 and Group of Five issues, and is there a savior for Mario Cristobal? I might have that answer for you. One of our overlords is back in action when it comes to sports, and then we'll wrap it up with closing arguments. But the story comes to you today from the world of injuries making you look badass, and that is, I have not seen a picture of this. I'm holding out because I want to see it live. That is Josh Allen tonight rocking a visor to protect his broken nose. Now, I haven't seen the nose either. Does it look bad? I've had my nose broken a couple times, and I don't need to really see it.
It's not the worst looking, but you can tell he's fighting a little something.
It's not Owen Wilson?
No.
But how badass, under the lights, in a night game on prime time, is Josh Allen going to look tonight with that visor? Because I'll tell you what, I watch a lot of LaDainian Tomlinson in my career, and there ain't nothing cooler than him with a visor.
I was going to say, is he going to go with the clear visor or the
cleared?
Tinted?
No.
He's going clear.
You got to go tinted,
He's
bro.
He's going clear.
It still looks good.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
It still looks good.
No, it's like sunglasses with your football helmet.
I will say, though, no one, as good as LT looked, and it looked incredible, no one. Look better than Mike Vick with a blacked out visor. Mike Vick is the gold standard.
I'd fight back on you and say LT. I'd fight back on that.
This is a quarterback.
Understood.
This is a quarterback.
And Vick is one of the flashiest that has ever done it.
You don't know where he's looking, what he's looking at. Well,
see, like, that is the benefit of a quarterback, is you don't know where they're looking.
And it wasn't like a tinted. It's blacked out.
Combined with like the black uniforms,
yes.
Too, and black helmets.
Yes.
And, yeah.
those Falcons jerseys all blacked out with the blacked out visor, that was a look. Like that was swag personified.
Pose on Instagram with your dog with that look?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like Kyler Murray? Mm-hmm. I don't think you should do that.
Baker goes tinted visor.
I've seen the visor on Baker.
Cam Newton.
Cam wore the visor.
Cam looked menacing.
He's just
so big.
I mean, when you watch the NBA and you look at Giannis and you're like, dude, you're not supposed to be playing basketball. Cam was like that playing football. Yeah, like, dude, you can't be a quarterback that big.
6'6", 260.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And got bad intentions.
And damn right, built brother. Like a truck. Josh Allen ain't no wallflower either.
No.
He's about 6'5", 250.
Yeah, he's still a big boy.
He's a big old boy.
You're a big boy.
Yeah, dang.
Mm-hmm. There is just something about a blacked out visor.
Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted him to go blacked out visor tonight.
Ray Lewis.
Did Ray rock a black visor at times?
He did. There's a couple times that he did. Suggs did for a little while.
Those are two scary, scary men.
Yeah. There's just
can we get Miles Garrett in a visor?
Ooh. For me personally,
playing at Texas A&M right now,
Max Crosby,
because you don't care how old they are. Yeah.
Max Crosby in a blacked out visor in the silver and black. Genty has gone clear so far.
He's got a visor though.
Yeah, and I don't.
Well, we might have a smudge on that because he sure as hell ain't picking up pass protection.
Yeah, well, there's something about, especially like you said, with the black jerseys when you go full blacked out. Like the Raiders wearing the blacked out visor is just, ooh, it just adds to the je ne sais quoi.
We're getting Brian Dawkins.
Ooh, yeah. Dawkins. If you are a hard hitting SOB, if you were taking souls, I love that. Ed Reed did for a little while.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sean Taylor wore one.
Sean Taylor.
There's just, and has there ever been like Kyler's the quick answer to this, like of like guy who shouldn't wear visor, but I think he kind of pulls it off.
Who?
Kyler Murray. I think he pulls it off.
You live in the Kyler Murray world.
I'm not pro Kyler. I'm just saying I think he pulls it off.
Colt Brennan at Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Jahmyr Gibbs is getting scary. Mm-hmm. That's a text that just rolled in.
There's not everybody can do it.
Well, it's about how you wear it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like anybody can do it, but you got to have some swag with that. You got to walk that way.
You have to be physical. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, Vic wasn't physical. I'm like, I'd argue he was because he made everybody look stupid with a little ee and little in and out. Yep. See you later. Bye.
Michael Jackson?
Yeah. No, that's a hee.
Ooh, Cam Chancellor coming in. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Another scary mofo.
Head hunting safeties with visors. That is my jam. Good.
Derwin James needs to be. Derwin James needs a visor right now.
If you are somebody who wanted to inflict maximum pain, Rod Woodson with the Raiders. Blacked out. I was only there for 3 years. Blacked out visor.
I love it.
Blacked out visor and head hunting. Go just. Peanut butter and jelly.
Good luck, Josh. Hopefully you won't need it tonight. Thursday night football. Dolphins at Bills. Urlacher?
I swear Urlacher did for a period.
No. You check that out. We come back. Loaded final hour. Hang out with us. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.